Hey, what's up, gear nerds? This is Perry with Premier Guitar in Nashville, Tennessee at the Cannery Ballroom. Here today talking to the dudes in Fiddlar.
Yeah.
We got Brandon.
Brandon.
And we're going to talk to a tall guy with a really short bass.
That goes really high.
You play it up high like that?
I do. I don't know why. It just like feels good that way.
Easier for you to move around.
Yeah.
Like, how did you end up on that? Like, I've seen you play P basses before, I think. But
yeah. I mean, originally it was like out of just like whatever cheap bass I could find, because, you know, that's just how you start when you're in a band. But then there's this one, what got me on the Mustang is like early on when we were touring, there's one day where we had all this Canadian money and we didn't want to exchange it and get, you know, like have the exchange rate get all fucked up. And so we ended up going to a music shop and just like going on a band shopping spree with like everyone just were like, all right, everyone take like a few $100 and like get whatever you want. And so I bought a Mustang, and then I just ever since was like into it. And this one I just got, it's like a new Fender one where it has like jazz pickup and the P-bass pickup. And I got them because my other Mustang got stolen out of my van. But Fender hooked it up, and like we have good friend Jason Klein that works there, so he like got him right in the nick of time for tour. So
that rules.
Yeah.
So you're just touring with this one and an identical backup.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Same exact thing, backup. It doesn't have the Dremel.
Oh, you did that with a Dremel.
Yeah, I like carved it with a Dremel tool and then paint penned it in.
I thought it was just marker there for a minute.
No, it's carved in there. It's not coming off.
That rules.
Yeah.
Cool, and you're running that little bass through a big old basement,
the Super Bassman 810. I used to play like a old Sun amp with like 215s, and it just, that was like the touring rig forever, and it just finally bit the bullet.
It bit it, huh? Oh, that was a solid state head, right?
Yeah, solid state.
What ate it? The output transformer or something?
It just started, just like, and then, you know, solid states, like, once they go, you can't really fix them.
Yeah.
It's like, but then, same thing, Fender, I was looking for a new amp, went and tried out, actually, the 800, like, the solid state hybrid one, and sounded great. And then I tried that one, which is the all tube, and I was like, that sounds better.
Is it that much?
And so then I have that for the main, and then I have the 800 for a backup.
For a backup? That's cool. That's cool.
But it sounds great.
Do you feel a lot of difference between that and the Sun? Surely it's got to.
Yeah, this is like a little, you know, it's all tube, so you get that like warm tube sound.
Yeah, totally.
But it sounds great. Yeah, this is the first tour I've used it, so I'm like.
They sound great, they're not fun to move around.
No, this thing is beast weight wise it's super heavy.
Yeah, that's a big dude.
Yeah.
All right, so then you got a lot of pedals for a bass player. A lot of times bass players don't have a ton of pedals, but
yeah,
you got some cool noise makers over here.
I do. I got I'll just go down the line.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Earthquaker device, the Afterneath.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a trippy reverb, kind of like, I don't use it like all the time, but when we get like into the more psyche like jam parts of the set, I'll like click it on or do like scrapey things that just kind of like
texture.
Yeah, textury stuff. So that's that. This is a Creepy Fingers. It's this guy Brad from Fu Manchu's company that
From the band?
Yeah, from the band.
Oh, that rules.
Fu Manchu, and he makes pedals. And so one year we have the same management. So our manager got him to make us all like custom bass pedals. So like, I don't know if you see, it says Fiddlar Brandon on it. And I think it's just like a crunchy, not quite a fuzz, but like distortion kind of thing. Sounds like, you know, scraping metal or something.
And then the Big Muff is?
Yeah, the bass Big Muff standard. I think Zach and Elvis actually got me one for my birthday, like really early in the band, and then it's just been kind of like the main.
Oh, that's a cool birthday present.
Distortion, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you leave that on quite a bit? Because, I mean, you guys are pretty fuzzed out for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time I have like the amp broken up a little bit, so it's like crunchy, but then I'll use this for like the big, you know, when it's like
big choruses and stuff like that.
Yeah. The bass Microsynth Electro Harmonics, this is just like when it needs to get as gnarly as possible. These two together just like,
oh, sad.
You know, wall of craziness.
Wall of destruction.
That's and then, you know, the most, this is like the rarest pedal I have.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Yeah, it's the TU-3. It's like, you can't even find them anywhere anymore.
That's crazy. And then, I know this isn't bass related, but this thing is kind of interesting. While we're on stage, we might as well talk about that.
So this, my auxiliary pedal board, actually controls all of our lights. So like, I do a lot of like the stage production stuff for our band, and it's usually just me with some like crazy DIY idea, and then I try to figure it out like the night before we leave. So I got, yeah, this like, I don't know, it just like turns on lights.
That's so cool. So you can do that while
and
you're...
so I can kind of like, since we don't have a lighting guy, I'll just kind of like, I can cue it to like Max's drums, or like, you know, when we hit a big chord, I can like strobe them or turn on the fog machines.
That rules. Totally unrelated, but how did you get a simultaneous feed to all the televisions?
That took a little work.
I was going to say. It's cool. It looks awesome.
The thing about using TVs that you find on the side of the road is that they don't necessarily all want to talk to each other.
Sure.
So it's like the craziest, like, tweaky system where I like, they're all running coaxial into a like coaxial splitter that then goes into an RF adapter that then goes into a DVD player, which the DVD player was actually the hardest thing to figure out because no computers have DVD burners anymore.
Yeah.
So I had to like find like a buddy that had an old tower, and I was like, can I come over to your house and burn a bunch of DVDs? But yeah, it's like all this visual stuff is like, usually if we're playing a festival, it'll be like on a video wall.
Totally.
And then since we didn't have a video wall on tour, I was like, well, we can make like a DIY version of a video
wall.
Did you
really find all these TVs on the side of the
road? Yeah. I actually found most of them like in just around my apartment in LA, and my van was broken down at the time, so I used a skateboard. Like I just walked to where I found them and put them on a skateboard and just wheeled each one like into my parking lot.
It was like the most punk rock shit I've ever heard. Like, so how many did you have to go through? Because like obviously not all of them worked, right?
No, I got 11 total. Two I like didn't work already, so I gutted them and put emergency blankets and fog machines in them and stuff. And then two got broken on the way out to our first date because we like freighted all of our stuff on a truck. And so then these four are the surviving members.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, right on, I'm gonna talk to the rest of the guys in the band, but I really appreciate you taking the time.
Man.
And can't wait for the show.
Cool.
All right, now we are center stage with Zach. What's up, man? How are you?
How you doing?
Great. Happy to be here. You guys have had me cracking up all day, man. But let's start with this Costco guitar that is super sweet, man.
So, this is from Old Style Guitar from Ruben down in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. And basically, I've been looking for a guitar that's light. Like, feel
it
that.
It weighs nothing.
Super light.
It almost feels like it's chambered if you didn't know. Like, that's crazy.
It's very, like, I needed something because of just touring so much, hurts your back, you know, just like the reality of it.
And you guys are thrashing around pretty hard on stage.
We thrash on stage, so.
One pickup.
He literally was like showing me all these cutaways and, you know, like all these super light guitars. And I was like, what's that one, dude? What's that one? And he was like, oh, you don't want that one, dude. You don't want that one. I was like, what is it? And literally picked it up and had to go like this and just dust. And he's like, I've had this guitar for 15 years and nobody's wanted it.
Bingo.
And I was just like,
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I love it. Funny story though, recently I needed to get it serviced. And Ruben, the guy that sold it to me, he was out of town. And the guy was like, hey, do you use the pull knob? And I was like,
it has a pull knob? What is it, like a coil?
It turned into, split the coil, and then I was like, dude, I had no idea it even did that.
Is that just a volume, or is it says
just
tone?
Just volume.
Okay, because the knob says tone, but it's just volume.
Just volume.
And I'm sure you put a different pickup in it, right?
That's a tone zone, yeah. Yeah, it was basically, it was too loud.
Too hot of an output?
It was too hot of an output, yeah, so I... Or it was the other way around. I can't remember. Maybe I just wanted something.
So did you do this?
But the neck is actually, I mean, feel that neck. It's an amazing neck. I don't know where that came from, but I guess it's a different kind of neck. But funnily enough, I've been trying to figure out where this guitar comes from, and finally, he sends me a picture, a screenshot of Costco Ottawa for $75.
God,
that's what this guitar is.
Well, that's actually favorite. Kind of a rad story, man. Yeah, that's guitar. And that's your number one.
This is my favorite guitar. I call it Tim Armstrong's head.
Because of the spider web.
Yeah, he didn't like that too much.
He didn't? I would have.
Like, funny.
Oh, real funny, bro. Yeah. And then this is your backup, this Tally, huh?
Yeah, that's my backup. That was given to me by my uncle because he got deported from Hawaii and he had to leave it. And I think it's an 82.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this is the Burritos.
That rules. At least it's getting some love.
Oh, man, this guitar sounds great. American made. It's a great guitar.
Three banger
it's
styles and stuff, yeah.
It's just fucking heavy.
It is pretty meaty.
Yeah, so.
I have a couple Tellys, and this is definitely heavier than all of mine.
Yeah, I think it's an 82. And of course, I just destroy it.
You guys can see this. There's just cracks and shit all up and down the neck.
I've broken this guitar so many times. I wish I had my Strat with
me. I was gonna ask, because I've seen you playing Strats.
I had a Strat that I broke, and I got fixed, and my uncle that fixed it in Hawaii, he was like, Zach, get over here. Opened it up, and it was handwritten, it was 67.
Oh, no. Really?
He's just like,
had you never opened it up?
Problem,
Zach. You never opened it up for anything?
Why are you breaking guitars on stage? It's like, I don't know. I bought the guitar for $100 from my sister that got it from a pawn shop in Hawaii, you know what I mean?
Was it for real a 67?
It's a 67 body.
Holy shit.
Whoops.
How bad is it broken?
It's pieces, but he fixed it.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah, he fixed it. It's not the best sound.
I was going to say, it probably didn't play the same afterwards, huh? No. All right, here's another awesome story. So I'm looking at your basement over here.
Yep.
How'd you come to own that?
That was literally like a homie of mine was like, you know, not doing too well in life. He was fine, you know, it was good, but he was like, this is Hawaii again too. You know, we didn't get the internet till way later, and
right.
eBay and all that shit, you know, Craigslist and all that shit. We didn't get that shit way later. And I was at his house and he had this tucked away, and I was just like, yo, what are you doing with that thing? He's like, oh, it doesn't turn on. I don't know. I was like, you can have it for $50. I'm like, sweet.
Sweet, sold.
So I opened it up, and all it was the negative unit or negative solder point for the power was just broken.
Had broken off. Just resolder it.
And then I just resoldered it.
Fired
and
right
it works.
Up.
It's a 67? 66.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you even change the tubes at first or anything?
Nope.
Or? Have you?
Nope.
That is rad.
Oh, you know what I did? I put a mercury transformer in it.
Like a real transformer?
Yeah. I put a mercury transformer in it. I haven't changed the tubes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
$50. All right.
Plug and play.
What about this cab? Is that something that?
That is Elvis's.
Oh, that rolls.
Yeah, that is Elvis's. I've gentrified that.
You moved on that bad boy.
I did.
Cool. So are you getting, you guys have a pretty fuzzed out tone. Is that primarily coming from your amp? Or are you doing that all
no,
with pedals?
No, I got a little setup here. Here's a funny one. Okay. This will be fun for you guys.
Oh, yeah. You're going to pull it all out and show us?
Sorry, Colin.
This is by far one of my favorite pedal boards I've ever seen on the Rig Run.
It's a pedal board. You know
the literal pedal
but
board.
I just remembered, this is actually given to me from Jonah Ray, this pedal board, and it's a Rick and Morty pedal board.
That is so rad.
That's actually signed by Dan Harmon. And what's the other guy's name?
Justin Roiland.
Yeah, so I probably shouldn't have taken this on tour.
Or maybe just put some tape over the signature so they don't wear it down, but that's rad.
But yeah, so most of my tone comes from the Earthquaker. The distortion, but that's like, you know, that breaks up pretty well. Tone Master is Elvis.
Yeah, He's got a real clean, board over here. Ooh, KTR and everything. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so my thing is a little bit more weirder. I have the...
Because you're playing rhythm and singing.
I'm playing rhythm, and basically the Earthquaker is my distortion. The Pog is for choruses, you know what
gotcha.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a unit.
Are you like going like a one up, one down kind of thing, just to fill out the sound?
Basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Delay with the chorus, the Memory Boy, and the PS5.
Super
I used to have PS6, but I like the PS5 better.
Does the 5 have that momentary thing where you can just hold
it
down?
Yeah, those
are
fun. You know, but I use it mainly for like drops after some
gotcha.
Or the other one.
Coming
you
up,
know,
yeah.
Like, and then this guy's a new guy that I've been doing on tour. I'm sure.
Jam Man.
Gabriel loves this.
Is that a little beatbox or something? Yeah,
it's a sampler, basically, and just 808s.
Rules.
Different keys on a different song, just
boom.
You know, like, so that's kind of like a little addition to
the
set. But yeah.
I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and also crack me up. I love the pedal board.
It's
I think that is too cool,
it's
dude.
A thing that, like, it's funny, I just remember like being in my room, just being like, fuck, I need a pedal board. Looked at my skateboard and was like,
that'll do.
Yeah, okay, you know? And it's kind of taken a life of its own. I guess kids, everywhere I go with it, you know, I travel to Europe with it and everything, they're like, everywhere's like, I've never seen that before.
I know, it's honestly kind of blowing my mind that I haven't seen anyone else do this before.
Yeah.
There's so many dudes.
It just makes so much sense.
What do you have a bag that you throw it in or something? Or?
I cut out my, if I had the SKB, I would have shown you that the case is literally like I can fit everything into an SKB case.
So
I cut it out, you know what I mean? Like, and it works every time.
Well, Dan, that rules so much, man. I really appreciate you taking the time. We're going to talk to Elvis about his super clean board over here. Okay, now, last but certainly not least, we're talking to Elvis. What is up, my man? How are you?
Good.
Thank
How you doing?
So much for doing this, dude. I
Good
appreciate
to see
it.
You.
Good to see you as well. I've seen you playing some other stuff before, so
like
a Reverend, I think Eastsider is what you were.
The Eastsider, Telly, 50s Telly copy, the Pete Anderson guitar.
Signature, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Pete's a great
cool.
guitar.
That guy rules.
Yeah, yeah. So I used that for basically our whole last record cycle. And then this is actually my brother's guitar. But it's a the Fender American Professional. And
so
yeah, those
one.
Guys. Yeah, they gave us a couple of these. And
I love how they... A, I love how they removed that jazz circuit that nobody used and it was really complicated.
Yeah.
But B, I noticed that this must be a plate 4-1 that had the jazz circuit or something.
Oh, yeah. My brother switched this out with a this pick guard and then had to tape it over. So I've been using this one just because I like how it feels, this one in particular. But
the way it plays, like the action and stuff.
Yeah. But I think I never really like having extra knobs and switches and stuff, so like I like just the simple, you know.
Do it all with
three-way. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
And then you have this backup, which is an identical.
Yeah,
match,
I mean that one's actually mine. That's the one that I usually play, but just I haven't had time to go get it set up right now.
Do you ever use the trem on these or no?
I mean it's weird. I'm so used to using Bigsby's on other guitars at home that like I've never really gotten into the trem arm thing. So like, I don't know, for our stuff, it's not really necessary. So I kind of just like to not have any.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people like eat hardtail these or like, you know, find workarounds for that. You know?
Yeah, but, totally.
Yeah, it's cool, man. And then we're going through this Music Man HD 130, huh?
Yes, yeah.
That's a honker.
Yeah, so that's the reverb model. So it's like bigger. I was using a trainer and then the trainer, there was a problem with that. This was my backup, and then the trainer had an issue a few days in, and then so I've been using this one, which is I've used these amps for years,
For Clapton, it must be good enough for anybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they sound really cool. They have such a distinct sound, you know, because they're kind of a hybrid of like solid state stuff, and then I think when Leo Fender started the company, he was basically just making amps with like as much headroom as possible.
The loudest, cleanest.
Yeah, loudest, cleanest kind of thing. So So yeah, it runs through. So that cab is, I don't even know what originally that cab is for, what Music Man head it's for, but that's a 115 on the bottom. So then it's got that like ported thing on the bottom too. So
it's just air coming out of that?
Yeah, so I like having that on the bottom because it adds like a lot of, you know, bass and kind of makes it sound a little bigger. And then it's going through this Marshall 412 cab.
Do you know what's in that Marshall?
It had like, you know, stock pickups in it, stock speakers in it. And then I ended up switching them out with some Webers.
Oh.
It has two of the like Blue Dog Webers and then two of the, I forget what the other ones are called, but they're like the two like Marshall style and then two, you know, Vox style.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's great.
The Silver Bell, I think, is the other two. Yeah. Yeah, so the Webers sound amazing.
Two on bottom, or did you cross
them? I think they're crossed, yeah. I think that's how the dude that works on my amps did it. But those sound great. They sound amazing, those speakers.
That's a very loud, clean amp for a band that doesn't play a lot of
yeah.
super clean stuff. I'm guessing you're doing it all with pedals,
totally,
right?
Totally.
Well, before we get into pedals, do me a favor, let's just hear your amp just as is.
Yeah.
Very loud, very
cool.
Clean.
Yeah,
totally. Are you using the reverb on the amp at all?
It's not. I don't know that it's working right now, so I'm not really using that. They can be a little like weak on those Music Mans, so I actually have something on here that I
a little belly
use for
pump.
That.
Yeah.
That's
cool. So I guess let's just walk through the chain. Obviously,
okay, cool.
Starting with the crazy hard to find TU3.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. It's got the standard. I had a poly tune for a minute, and then it just like broke, and then I was just like, I just need, because I had one of these for 10 years, and then it finally broke, and then so I was like, I'm just gonna stick with the.
You got your money's worth, I guess, for
yeah,
10 years.
Yeah.
And then going into the KTR, that rules.
Yeah. So the KTR is kind of like the newest addition.
How do you feel about it? Are you using
great.
It for a clean boost or more like a distortion? Or
it's
a
just total like. It's just like my always on like overdriven sound, so it's not like too crazy or anything. It's just just like straight.
Well, let's hear it.
Tone. Okay, yeah.
Just out of curiosity. It's a very mid-rangey.
Yeah. So I really like that sound. And then sometimes I'll do stuff on the, you know, rhythm circuit too. So. But it's like I'll add some treble on the amp when I do on the rhythm pickup.
Are you dancing around on the volume and tone quite a bit, or is that something you leave set?
Oh, the tone was down a little bit. Yeah, I usually leave it set. Sometimes I'll do, you know, with fuzz and stuff, like I'll turn the tone down a little bit if it gets a little harsh, you know?
A little ice picky.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, you got a whole lot of fuzz and OD overdrive going on here. Do you ever turn them all on?
Sometimes, yeah, just for
set.
Like, a, yeah, just for help. Like, yeah, just to kind of get it all noisy. But, yeah, I mean, the OCD is basically like, I used to use that as sort of my always on, like, you know, overdriven tone thing. But now I just use it sort of as like a boost for leads, yeah.
Cool, and then the fuzz war, man. Death by Audio makes some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I've had that pedal for a long time. And I always kind of like come back to it. You know, like I try different fuzzes, but it's got this cool like, it's just like, I don't know, in between sort of like an overdriven, like, you know, solo tone and a fuzz, like, because you can actually solo with it and it cuts through.
Cuts through in a mix.
Yeah, it doesn't like a lot of fuzzes get super lost, but.
Ooh, can I hear that bad boy?
Oh, yeah. It might be pretty insane sounding.
We got it. I might have to get myself one of those.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And then for single line stuff too, like.
Ooh. fills it right out.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite things about that Bumble Fuzz is that there's no knobs on it. It's just like on and off.
Yeah, no knobs.
Is that something you're using momentarily, just like for little parts and songs? Or
well, it's kind of a funny story behind that pedal. Is my mom is like a big, you know, like White Stripes, Jack White fan, and was a part of the like Third Man like record club thing. And one of the last things she got like for being in the club, she was like, "Oh, I'm breaking up with Jack White. Like, I'm not gonna be in the club anymore." And then she like got this pedal, and she was like, "Do you want to like try this pedal?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure."
Sure.
And so I checked it out, and it sounds insane. It's like this crazy, you know,
gated
octave fuzz kind of thing.
I just played it at Third Man Records for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's actually pretty high fuzz.
It's cool. So then I was doing like a demo for one of the songs that we're playing tonight. It's going to be on the new record, and I ended up using that like on the lead line, you know. So then I was kind of like, all right, gotta bring it to do that part. So it's basically for one part in one song. So
that happens a lot, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Cool.
So if you want to hear that, I can.
Yeah, might as well kick that sucker on. Sounds like your amp is just about to explode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's awesome.
It does that crazy, like, you know, ring mod sounding kind of thing.
And so up top, it's mostly modulation effects, huh?
So super duper, you know, which does like
ZVEX, yeah.
Yeah, it's like two of the like same boost circuits. So like,
do you stack them or do you?
No, I just use one as like if it's like a lead line that's just one, you know, kind of like single note sort of thing, like to kind of make that cut through a little more.
Gotcha.
So like if. Like it kind of just adds
too
that.
Crazy, but it definitely
yeah, it just adds a little bit
bumps you up there
a little bit of treble for like those for like the higher lines and stuff. Yeah, and then this is T-Rex tremolo. Yeah, so
that's a pretty sexy track. Yeah,
yeah, just pretty nice, like rush. Pretty standard. Just kind of, you know, use it for a few songs and I love tremolo, so
I'm a big fan. And so my old eyes aren't what they used to be. What are these tiny guys over here?
Okay, so this is Maleco. That's a Maleco pedal. I don't know if you know their stuff,
mm-hmm,
but
so they make a bunch of those little
little ones. Yeah, yeah. So this one is just an analog chorus, and it's like really simple. And I don't usually like chorus pedals too much because it's just not really like an effect I use much. But
it can
like,
be done poorly. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
like sometimes
yeah.
It's a little over the top. Yeah.
So this one's just got a. It's
Are you
got
just
a
kicking
pretty,
that on for a chorus here and there?
Like every now and then I'll do it for like, you know, like a lead line or like, you know, for.
Just a flavor.
Yeah, just like when I'm bored and want to add something else to it. Yeah, for just certain parts. But yeah, it's got. It's,
That's relatively subtle for a chorus. It's not obnoxious.
So. Yeah, yeah, and I keep it kind of like mellow, you know, not too crazy.
We got the El Capistan.
So we got the Strymon. That thing's pretty amazing. I use Slapback for a lot of just like, you know, just like my rhythm tone for stuff. So let's see what it's on right now. But yeah, usually I just like it, and I like that you can. It has kind of this like that has the tape age and.
And that affects
and
the decay kind of, right?
Well, it just makes it sound like
old,
like warbly and shit like that. So.
Yeah, that sounds killer.
It's kind of like. The thing that's cool about it is that it's like, it doesn't really mess with your tone at all, you know?
It's not coloring it too much.
Yeah, it's not really coloring it. It just kind of gives you, it like preserves, the sound and then just adds like a slap to it. And then so sometimes I'll tap tap out the tempo of whatever that's the handy. Song is. Yeah, so that's nice to have. And then this is the Belle Epoque, which is a Catlin bread. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a copy of the, of like an Echoplex, basically, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll use that for like longer delay stuff. Like I keep this usually on the slap setting. And then this guy I'll like use for solos, just longer, like, let's see, I don't know. This stuff gets all moved around, but let me see. Like.
Super East like acidy, psyche stuff. That's cool. Yeah. And then that very last pedal, is that a Moleko as well?
So that's a Moleko also. And then so for some songs I'll use this. It's just a, I'm actually borrowing this from my friend too. My friend Zuck, but this is a spring reverb. So it just does like.
Yeah. It's pretty convincing little. Digital reverb.
Yeah, that sounds good. And it's got like.
Are you running that a lot with the Strymon?
It's like for certain songs, if I don't want slap, but I want like a, you know, verb sound, I'll just use that. But it's, I think it actually is like a slap, the way that they get the sort of like spring reverb sound. Yeah, I'm not sure
it's
exactly.
It's like some sort of like.
They don't sell it anymore, so, I mean, you can find it. It's not, their pedals are cheap and they're really good. Right? Yeah. Yeah, so. Well, that's about
Elvis,
it.
Man, I appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it. I'm excited for the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. This has been really cool. I'm a big fan. Also love cheap beer, so thanks for all the crunchy tunes and all the good jams.
Right on.
Guys, keep watching. Stay tuned for more rig rundowns, lessons, all that fun stuff. Oh yeah, riff rundowns. Don't forget about those. See you later.
Hey everybody, thanks for watching the latest rig rundown. Guess what? Every week we upload a brand new rig rundown to premierguitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to premierguitar.com/rig rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new rig rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.